Amen. And that faith to forgive you, and they never move past it. Amen. Some people never move past the faith that if I get baptized in Jesus' name, God will wash away my sins. And you got some chronic people that we call chronic seekers. They never get the Holy Ghost because they don't believe God for the Holy Ghost. They got some reason why they can't get it. Maybe they live such a wicked life or something. They think that God can't do it. And so they hold back. And then you have people who's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they can't receive healing in their body. Amen. You ever met people that might not have lived as consecrated as some, and they get healed? And somebody real sanctified don't get healed? And it leaves you scratching your head, elder. Why is that sister that's got some error in her life, how is she getting healed? And this sister over here lives such a godly life. She ain't. Sister believed God for healings, how she got healed. Amen. Now, God ain't going to heal everything. It's appointed unto man once to die. Sometimes the Lord just ready to take you home. You can pray and pray all you want to. My wife's grandmother, we prayed for her. My pastor, we prayed for him. And God decided to take them home. And I couldn't be upset with the Lord about that. That was the Lord's will. Amen. It's appointed. Amen. Well, so you're going to leave here some way. Amen. And so we have to come to a sense of maturity. There is this thing that me and you've got to learn. We've got to get past the simpleness of faith and move into a realm of trust where me and you start trusting the Lord. Amen. And I'll tell you something about faith that touches the miraculous. It's scary. Ain't nothing about it comfortable. It's strange. I remember a couple years ago, and I say a couple years about everything, because I forget the real number, amen. It was a while back, but me and my wife, we had come by this house, and it was Saturday about 7 o'clock, and there was a bunch of youngins jumping on trampoline. And I said, I went by, and we got home, we got the groceries up and tended everything. It got about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I said, we got to go back to that house, talk to that man about those kids need to be in church. And I wouldn't suggest going soul winning at 11, but it worked for us, amen. We knocked on the door, and he opened up the door, and his kids did, and he was laying in a hospital bed. He was hooked up to a feeding pump because he had cancer, and they had removed some of his esophagus. And we were talking to him about church, and he told me he went to a little Baptist church down the road. And honestly, they changed pastors so much that the pastor's name was on a tag that you just pull off and pop a new one on. And I knew the church, so I asked him, who's the pastor? They're going to do that, not the elder. Amen. I think last time I was here, I kicked my foot up on his desk, and Brother Caleb or somebody took a picture, and I said, I'm moving in, elder. Amen. But don't do that. Amen. But I asked him, I said, who's the pastor? And he looked at me and got kind of goofy face. I said, quit lying. You don't go to that church. I said, when's the last time you've been to that church? He said, Pastor, it's been a long time. I said, why don't you bring your kids out to our church? And he said, well, look at me. I'm hooked up to a feeding tube. I said, man, don't worry about that. Just feed yourself up. Come on. We'll have church. Well, long story short, amen, it wasn't very long. God got a hold of that man, all his boys, his daughter. They all repented, got in the house of God. And man, God did a miracle. He saved that man, filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you ever hear somebody say, why don't we see miracles? You ain't never seen nobody have their sins forgiven. You never seen nobody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've seen some miracles, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's the greatest miracle of them all, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And had one fella say, well, I ain't never seen the blinded eyes open. I said, because you're going to the wrong church. You come to mine, the eyes will get open. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the dead will be raised too. Amen. And but I was preaching one night along these lines. And we were having a good church and people were responding. And that brother stood up and he came to the front of the church elder. And he was crying and he said, Pastor, he said, God spoke to me and said he's going to heal me tonight. And I said, did he? He said, yeah, and I had a brother there. Now, this man couldn't swallow his own saliva. He explained it to me like this. Anything he swallowed was like taking your finger and running it down the back of your throat. And so he said that, and I told a brother in my church, I said, go over there next door to the kitchen, and I said, get me two big old glasses of water. He brought me them two big glasses. I mean big glasses. I'd fill them up. He brought them back, and we set them on the table, and we was praying for other folks. And I said, did the Lord speak to you? And he said, he did. And I said, well, drink that glass of water. He looked at me like I was crazy, Elder. But I was going to find out if he was lying or telling the truth. Amen. And sure enough, he took that glass and he drank that first glass. And brothers, let me tell y'all what. He started turning green. And he started getting sick. And people were just, you know, my church, automatically faith left the building. Automatic. I'm no joke. Now, it's funny, but it wasn't at the moment, because I looked on everybody's face and they were perplexed, and I looked on his face and he was crying and he couldn't breathe, and I prayed for somebody else while all this was going on. I just stopped praying for him, prayed for somebody else. And when I got done praying, my wife, she tell you, this is the truth. Now, no made up story here. I leaned over and said, don't you throw up on my carpet. That's what I said. And then I called another one up that wanted prayer, and we prayed for them. So this fella's in a bind now. And then when we got done, he's sitting there. And I mean, man, he was green. And I said, did God talk to you or not? And I said, well, then drink the other cup, brother. And I just stepped back. And he got the cup, and he started weeping. And he said, in Jesus' name. And he turned that other cup up. And when he did, man, the Holy Ghost fell in that church, and he started shouting, because that's the first time in 7 years that water had went from his mouth down into his stomach. He's still eating and drinking today, amen? Oh, God. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. He's all choked up for 7 years, amen. And wasn't very long after that, I preached a little message about shouting on the devil's territory. And after service, we were down in Douglas, Georgia, and he left. And his boys told me, said, Daddy took us way out in the woods to a little old cemetery. We got out there to the cemetery, and he said, y'all come here. And he led them to a plot right there beside their granddaddy that had passed away. And man, they started dancing. He said, this is where I was supposed to be buried 7 years ago. Amen. You know what? We got enough that's already been done for us. Amen. If you'll just think back, amen, or to give you enough faith to believe God for anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Y'all remember just it was couple years ago that my oldest daughter was diagnosed, amen. They started off saying that she just had a spot on her liver, and then by the time my wife got her to the specialist, that spot, you know, you say a spot, you think, I don't know what y'all think, but when they say a spot on your child's liver, I'm thinking like a pinpoint. That's a spot. But then they told us it was 15 centimeters. That's about the size of a huge grapefruit laying on my little girl's liver. And we were praying, and Elder, we didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't know what God was going to do, but I knew what I was going to do. I was going to beg, plead, cry, snot, fast, wail, whatever I had to do. Amen. I knew what I was going to do, what Mama was going to do, because she locked us out the room every night. And man, you could hear her speaking in tongues before the Lord, interceding for my daughter. I knew what my daughter was doing. She is praying to God, and we were waiting for a sign. God, I don't got to see rain fall. I was like Elisha. Amen. All I need to see was a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And we walked in, and I'm going to tell you, the point of contact with that faith was when the doctor looked at me and my wife, and he said, there's never been in the history of any medical history that a tumor like this has ever shrunk. That's, I mean, that was the point that I knew God was about to do something. It might not sound like much, but it's all I needed. I said, well, he was talking, and when he said that, I said, well, Lord Jesus is about to make history in this place today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. First things happened, the symptoms quit because that mass was on the two main arteries, the one that filled the liver and the one that came from the liver. So no blood was going to my little girl's liver. It was all going into that mass. So she wasn't getting her blood clean, and she was white as a sheet, weak and couldn't eat. And all of a sudden, she started eating. I said, whoa, hold off now. We got to buy them groceries. Amen. And they took her back, elder, and they said, the blood ain't flowing to this mass anymore. And then they said, you know, it's got a little bit smaller, but it was probably swollen. First time we took that test, I said, well, it's probably going to be less swollen next time you take it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's down to like a 3 or a 4 now, and it's just getting smaller and smaller. And I said, well, look out, Jesus, you're going to have to rewrite the book, amen? Well, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know why you're shouting? Because you didn't live with that for a year. You know why it's easy to shout about that man that got healed? Because we wasn't sick for 7 years. But boy, when it happens to us, then it's hard to reach out and believe God for a promise. It is now. When everything in this world's telling you no. And even sometimes the church really don't encourage the way it needs to. Amen. Sometimes you feel like, man, I can't hardly believe God for this. But you know what? If me and you can learn some secrets from some people in the Bible, I believe every one of us in here can learn how to push through, amen, and get a hold to the blessings of the Lord. You know what scripture that deals with my heart? It's a scripture here that the Bible says everything in Christ is yes and amen. I don't like to go to a banker that says no. I'll find one that says yes. My youngins don't ask mama, they ask me. Because I always say, yeah, go ahead. Just don't bother me. Go ahead. Amen. How many want to go where everybody says yes? You know what? The Bible said everything in Christ is yes and amen. God don't like to tell us no. Amen. God likes to bless us. He loves to give us. Ain't that what the Bible said? That if you're going to believe God, you got to believe that he's a rewarder. Amen. I don't know about you, but my God's generous God. Amen. My God is a good God. My God likes to give. My God likes to bless. He don't like to withhold things from us. Amen. The Bible says if God would give us Christ, he would withhold no good thing from me and you. And I know sometimes it's hard when it don't come like you think it ought to come. The last couple years, the Lord had been stretching my faith in a direction I don't care to be stretched in. And I still don't have liberty to talk about it. But if God ever releases that, I could write a book. I could write a book about some prayers, amen, because the Lord brought me through time and time and time again, amen. And I had a friend, he told me not too long ago, he said, you need to write a book about all that stuff because you're going to forget it one day. And I said, you know what, that makes sense. I just recently met a sister that wrote a book about all the miracles and healings that went on. You ought to write down what God's done for you. And then when you do hit them lows and them lulls in your life, amen, instead of you trying to bring it back with this old brain that don't work, you get that book and start opening it up and start reading it, amen, and say, you know what? I remember when God heard me when I prayed, amen. I'm not going to stop praying, amen. I know prayer works, amen. Devil, you're a liar, glory to God. My God's a good God. He's a great God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God, thank God. Amen. The Bible is full of Jesus Christ doing miracles. One he did for a man named Legion. God came on the scene, and there he was, and Jesus delivered Legion from all them devils. And the Bible says when he got delivered, he was in his right mind and he was clothed. Amen. And there he was. And then he made this plea. He wanted to leave and go with Jesus. And Jesus told him, no. Tell him what I done for you. And you just don't realize how powerful a testimony is. Amen. Sometimes just saying it, you think that you don't got a testimony. You young people in here think, well, man, I hadn't really experienced a lot. The things that God has blessed you and helped you with, you need to share that. Amen. Because a little bit down the road from that no, you can't go with me, I need you to stay here. We read of some of the greatest miracles that took place, that touched our lives. They wrote songs about it. We've all preached about it. One I thought about pulling out tonight out of Luke chapter 8, amen, was a little woman with an issue of blood. Surely Legion had talked to that woman. She was right around that coast, right around that place, amen, where all those miracles took place, and she had heard. And in her heart, she had been suffering, the Bible said, with a sickness. And she had spent all her money, and it only got worse. But she heard Jesus was coming by her way. Thank God for a little lady. You know, back then it was a custom, I don't know if you know it, but that if you had that sickness like she had, you couldn't be in the proximity with other people. You had to get on the other side. You had to make a decree to everybody that I'm unclean, so they wouldn't get close to you unless they got that disease that you had. So, honestly, by the law, she was put herself in a position that she could have been stoned to death for being among those people. Huh. Amen. That was pretty serious. We don't all get that in our mind, but if you could just be like that woman. And then she had an issue of blood. Now, you know anything about your blood, that's where your strength comes from. So she had this issue, so she had to be weak. She had to be deathly afraid that somebody was going to see her elder. So I'm pretty sure she kind of tried to hide herself the best she could. And she said, I got to get to Jesus. And then it happened. Before she could get there, because her weak and feeble body, well, healthy folks was all around pressing on him, touching him, and she couldn't reach him. But in her home, the scripture says she is praying, and she made this statement that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Amen. I don't know what happened, Brother Morgan. Maybe somebody moved to the left or moved to the right, and she seen the bottom of that hemless robe. But she said, I got to get a hold to it before he gets gone. And I don't know how she got through the crowd, but she got through. More than likely, if you figure it the way I figure it, she had to get down on her hands and knees and crawl. Because that's what she was reaching out, and somehow she got to him, and she grabbed hold to him. And the moment she touched him, we know the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey says, amen, Jesus immediately stopped what he was doing and asked Peter, who touched me? He said, Lord, goodness, amen, look at all these folks putting their hands on you. How are we supposed to know? Everybody's touching you. And he said, no, somebody really touched me because I felt the power leave my body. Ain't that what you want to happen when you pray? You want the power to leave and hallelujah and get a hold of you? Hallelujah to God. Oh, thank God, thank God. You know, those circumstances that lady was in, I can't even imagine being sick that long. 12 years. 12 years with a sickness that's killing you. Spent everything she had. She had to be to a place of hopelessness. Amen. She had to be to that place and then to be physically weak. Amen. But then something got in her heart. Amen. Something came alive in her faith. I want to tell you something. If you're praying about something, amen, and you feel like your fears and your doubts are crowding you, and you feel like you're losing life and you don't got the energy to press on and ask God for what you need, what you need God to do is give you a little measure of faith. Amen. Just start praying, God, help me to believe you for this and learn how to push through the crowd and believe God. Amen. If you touch Jesus, I said, if you touch Jesus with faith, glory to God, the power is going to move, glory to God. I promise you, glory to God. Amen. Huh. You say, well, preacher, I've been praying. Well, don't stop. Just because he ain't moved yet. Honey, you ain't got through the crowd. If the power ain't come, you ain't touched him yet. But just keep pushing. He's there. He come by your way for a miracle, glory to God. Hallelujah. If God had sent a preacher by an invalid's house at 11 o'clock at night because God wanted to heal him, he didn't want to just save him. He wanted to heal him. Glory to God. God didn't call you here so he could get you off drugs and alcohol only. God wants to bless us. Glory to God. You got to get that in your spirit. Glory to God. We're not beggars. Amen. Just barely getting by, waiting on heaven to come. God wants to bless his people. Glory to God. God wants to pour out blessings on his people. Glory to God. Oh, God. You got to learn. We got to learn that we got to be persistent. We can't just draw back because we had a little snag in the journey. Amen. I know sometimes we'll be praying about something and we'll get sidetracked or the devil will come by and he'll hinder what God's trying to do. I'll tell you from a pastor's point of view. I've watched my people, and the greatest struggles that they've ever experienced is right before God opens up a blessing for them. I've seen people struggle the worst in their health and their finances within their family right before God was about to bless them. Huh? Don't go do something dumb. Don't get impatient and do something dumb and make a mess out of something that you got to clean up when God's going to bless you anyway. Look at Abraham. All he needed to do was sit still and wait on God. But he got impatient. And we do that, don't we? We do that. We got to learn. You know, if you get lost in prayer, you'll get some patience. I don't know about you, but when I really need something done, Elder, it's hard for me to sit still. I want to get something done. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to put my hands, get to work and helping God out. Anybody ever done that? Help him out a little bit? Realize he's going a total different direction. Amen. You ain't helped him out a bit. Amen. Help us, Lord. Matthew 14 tells a familiar story that we know about, talking about out of ordinary faith, faith that just don't get fit in a box. Everybody picks on this old boy, Peter, for sinking. I always thought it's pretty good. He's the only other fella ever walked on water. They look at it all wrong. I think, so what, he sank, but at least he walked on water. Don't know how many steps he made, but he made more than you. Huh? He made more than you. Amen and me, didn't he? But the Bible says that Jesus sent them out, and the waves began to crash and move and all. And the Bible says that Jesus came walking to them on the water. And immediately they were all afraid. Now just remember, this is the church. A couple years ago, there, see? God had given me an awful dream. Some dreams are wonderful. Some dreams are awful. But this dream, I can still remember it to the very detail this day. And I believe, honestly, it was probably 15 years ago. And I was asleep on my pillar. And that's usually where I sleep. Amen. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but the dream, I knew what it was. What I got the interpretation when God gave me the dream. And there were some things that had transpired in that dream, and I understood that it was my pastor. And after that dream came, he got diagnosed with cancer. Just like God had showed me in the dream through symbols that he had showed me, and I understood it. And me and my pastor talked, and we prayed. And man, if I can ever tell you, a church bound together and fasted and prayed and begged God. Amen. And still to this day, I don't know why the Lord chose to take him. And it took me many years to deal with it. But, you know, after a while, the Lord let me know. He said, I gave you a dream before it happened to help you. And he did. He warned me. He warned my pastor. He let us know what was going to take place. And it happened just like when they went to take out the cancer in his lung. It wasn't cancer. And God showed me that. But then he showed me a table, Elder, 3.5 tables, and then a long bench. And I was sitting on this bench, and a waiter came to me and asked me what I wanted. And I say, I'll take what my pastor had. And he said, that food's no good. And I said, my pastor would never eat anything that ain't good. And he gave me my pastor's plate, and I started eating off his plate, and I turned deathly ill in my dream, and then it turned sweet. And I remember looking at those 3.5 tables, and then I looked at that bench, and it never stopped going. And sure enough, 3.5 months to the day that he got the diagnosis that he was healed with lung cancer, he got brain cancer, and 3.5 months after that, he left this world. It shook me. But what shook me the worst of all that was when we were in the hospital and they diagnosed him and told us that, my wife's grandmother was a patriarch in our church. I mean, man, this woman has faith to move mountains, and she's going on to be with the Lord. But she grabbed me, Elder, and said, what are we going to do? And the first time I ever heard my wife's grandmother doubt God, and man, it shook me. And I'm going to tell you what, if you ever talk about a young man, I was 20-something years old and realized what was about to happen. And I wanted to run and hide and get away. But, man, it was just like the Holy Ghost put a backbone in me and said, you take this church into that office. And we went into a waiting room, and he said, you bring them to prayer. And I said, we're going to pray, Granny. I said, that's what we're about to do. And, man, half of them was crying. And I'll be honest, that was the most quietest prayer meeting. I was praying all by myself. Everybody else was weeping. It is that way sometimes. Tragedy comes and things get so hard, it'll just knock the words out of your mouth where you don't know what to say. You'll just sit there and cry. That's about what was going on this boat, amen, that Peter was on. Everybody was afraid. But Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come on. Whew. Huh? I don't know about you, brother and sister. Amen, but I don't like being in a place, amen, where there's fear all around me, amen? Huh? I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe you're facing some kind of circumstance and fear is just gathered around you, amen, and you feel that fear, then you feel afraid. That brings a sense of hopelessness into me and you. We get to scratch and get to wondering, God, what am I going to do? You know what you need to do? Amen, you need to believe God, amen. You just need to believe God. Just say, God, it don't matter what happens, amen. I know you're God, amen. You're going to help me here, glory to God, and just be like Peter, glory to God. Stand up, amen, and say, God bid me to come to you. Jesus won't reject you when you're going through the worst time of your life, the storms in that hour. You can come to him. And that immediately what the devil says, you can't get to Jesus. But Jesus said, come to me. It was in the midst of the storm. Amen. I'll tell you something. After that happened, Elder, my sweet wife, amen, she would go to prayer. I would hear her in the back, amen, and God was doing miracles for her. Amen, she draws so close to the Lord. I was watching her, and I said, man, God is blessing my wife. You know why? Because she didn't just let all that build up in her and keep her resenting God and getting bitter. Amen, when you and I are facing things, you know, it's all right to be afraid. It's all right to be scared. It's all right. That don't mean you doubt God. That just means you're human. But when you start doubting is when you let that fear override you and it begins to bind you and hold you back where you won't reach out and say, God, I'm going to believe you for this. I'm going to trust you for this. Amen. You'll sit here night after night and you know you need to come get anointed with oil, but you don't come. Why is it when the church is sick, we don't come and get prayed for? And then we say stuff like this, and I started to say something, but I won't say it. My wife's here. Well, there's other people that need it worse than me. Well, let it just get worse bad enough you need it. Just wait long enough. If you get bad enough, you'll need somebody to pray for you. Amen? We need to be like children. Them children want something, they won't be patient. We were sitting somewhere eating today, and little old girl was over there, and she asked for peaches 7 times before the waitress ever got there. She asked her mama, she asked her daddy, she asked her mama again. Then she asked her daddy, looked back down at the menu when the waitress got there, asked her 3 times, I want peaches. And you know what I told my wife? I said, that baby's going to get peaches today. Huh? You're laughing, but you know what? In prayer, you can get peaches or get nothing. Amen? I'd rather have peaches than squash, glory to God. Ask what you will and believe it, and ye shall have it, glory to God. Oh, thank you, God. Sit there, and if you need something from the Lord and the devil tell you you unworthy, you unworthy anything. You ain't worthy for a healing. You ain't worthy for nothing, no way. So you can just say, well, devil, if you ever told the truth, you told it. I sure ain't worthy. I ain't worthy for the stripes on his back. I ain't worthy for the blood he shed, for the mercy he gives. You're right, I'm not worthy, glory to God. But thank God he counts me worthy, glory to God. Thank God he values me, glory to God. We've been on a fast. And Wednesday night, we're going to take the Lord's Supper at the church, and I'm going to teach a little bit. And something that I saw in there one time as I was teaching this many years ago, amen, is where the Bible says they did not, well, it slips my mind. I'm getting older, ain't I? Amen. Thank you, brother. Whew, you get in my mind. That's a dangerous place to be. Oh, okay, all right, yeah. Discerning the Lord's body. And I got to thinking on that. You know, if the Lord didn't want to heal me, he could have just went to Calvary and hung on that cross. He never prophesied it in the book. I mean, he could have hung on that cross and shed his blood and forgave us of our sins. But he went by an old-timey whooping post and took a beating. I'd have to think that means he really wants to do something for me and you when it concerns the healing of our body. If you think about it, Jesus did not tell them to go preach first. He told them to go heal and then go preach. When I go out and I run tent revivals in neighborhoods that they don't know us, amen, this is the way we go soul winning. We knock on the door and we talk to a few people. And instead of saying, hey, why don't you come to tent meeting? We always say, you know anybody around here that's sick? Was in Douglas doing that for Brother Mark Wood's church, and we had took some of the boys down there from Elder Weeks' church, and man, they was on fire, Elder. They was ready to go. We went into this neighborhood right behind it. Man, it was infested with crack cocaine. And this drug addict, he came at me like he was gonna fight me. And I was like, all right, well, Lord, I mean, how am I gonna help these boys get saved if I whoop this fella up in here? But I said, I can only take so much, amen. Well, unbeknownst to me, I thought he was mad. I turned around and looked, and the boys was running. And I said, no wonder he's acting the way he is. So I got him calmed down, and he wasn't in his right mind, and I finally got him calmed down. I asked him, I said, you know anybody around here that's sick that needs prayer? And he said, yeah, there's the old mother lives up in that house right there, and she was kind of like the grandmother of that whole neighborhood. All them folks were strung out on dope. And their youngins was from pillar to post and living in the street, and they wanted something to eat. They went to that old grandmother's house, and she was mama to the whole neighborhood. And there she was sick, and held her God on his truth. We walked in that house, and they were 7 or 8 big old boys in there, and they was all smoking marijuana. And I kind of fanned it out the way and said, well, praise the Lord. We're at the right place. Amen. So we better get this prayer done quick. Amen. And I asked if we could pray for grandmother, and she come out of a room and shooed them old boys off, and we got to praying for her, and the Holy Ghost got to moving. She got to speaking in tongues and got happy. Amen. And God got to touching her. And man, that next couple, I think we stayed down there 3 or 4 weeks preaching. And people just came out of that neighborhood and walk up underneath that tent. Amen. We had preached to them. I think they baptized a bunch of people. We seen one little girl get delivered from spirits and oppression that she had been on. Her husband said he didn't even know she could sing. And when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, I heard folks speak in tongues. But I ain't never heard nobody sing in tongues when they got filled. But that girl started singing. She hit every note. It was the most beautiful thing you ever heard. Amen? Went in there and started preaching about healing. Glory to God. Healing's just as important as salvation. They go hand in hand. God came to save the whole man. I know we got some people that's out there in left field that make mockery of it, but don't let the devil steal the church's blessings and benefits. The Bible said, forget not the Lord's benefits and all his blessings. Amen. We come to the house of God. Healing is for you and I. Amen. Believe God for it. Glory to God. It's God's will that we are healed in our bodies. Hallelujah. I read in the Bible about another man in Numbers chapter 25 where they had disobeyed the Lord and the children of Israel had took unto themselves, amen, wives of the world. And a plague had hit that place. And Moses had told them to take all those men who had disobeyed the Lord because they had caused so many people to die. For them to be put to death. And while all this was going on, the elders was around the altar and they were weeping and praying. And then came in a man that was so proud of his new wife. And he just showed her around. Brought a little Midianite woman right on in there. Just let everybody know. I don't care what the preacher preaches. We got some of those every once in a while, don't we? Amen. I don't care what Elder Copeland preaches. I'll do what I want to do. But thank God for a little man in there named Phinehas. He's seen it. And man, something got in his spirit, and he said, I'm going to do away with that. Amen. Chase them folks to their tent and put them to death. Amen. And the Bible said because of his zeal that God's anger was stopped. I know some of you young folks, I got four girls. Every one of them's wondering, when's Mr. Wright going to come through the door? You don't got to go out to the world. Can't you believe God for a husband? Can't you believe God for a wife? Hello? Now, you act like you don't want me to preach it, but y'all all know that's what you all worried about. I heard a message from Sister Rita Dawson one time, and she said that the little preacher was preaching, and he said, oh, he's preaching a message about faith. So whatever you want, shout it out. And he said, 1, 2, 3, and nobody said a word. And she said she got the feeling so bad, elder, for the little feller, that he did it again. And she said, if he does it this time, I'm going to shout what I want. She said, what do I want? She couldn't think about nothing but watermelon. So he did the preaching, and he said, I'm going to do it one more time. 1, 2, 3. And she hollered, watermelon. And she's the only one that hollered anything. And everybody looked, and they said, I can't believe you said that. But she said, let me tell you what happened. She said, the next day, watermelons started getting all around that place. She said, I guarantee you I had 50 watermelons before the day was out. And then she made this statement. She said, if every girl and every boy in that place would have been honest, they would have hollered husband or they'd have hollered wife. And she said, if I'd have known God was going to do it, I'd have hollered skinny. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. You know, I watched my little girl's heart get broke a few times, and they felt like the right one had come along, and they were hoping and praying, and they were doing the mechanic and trying to work it all out. And because, you know, you raise up kids like we do, wholesome, clean, pure. You want them to have a godly family. They desire that. Amen. It's a different age than what I growed up in. I wasn't looking for somebody who had a job. I was looking for a mother, a wife. Now today it's different. Amen. But I wasn't looking for that. I was wanting a young lady to be the mother of my children and a wife to me. And thank God, I think I found a pick of the litter. Amen. And hallelujah. And but it's hard. And then you know, you get somebody that comes along. They're not quite where they need to be. And man, you start wondering. You don't need to do that. You got to have faith for that. Amen. You and I got to realize that, you know what? just like this man here. He wasn't like everybody else. He didn't sit back and say, well, let somebody else handle it. I'll take care of it. I'll move forward. I'll do what God's called us to do. So many other people had already put the weapons of war up and said they were going to let it go. And this fella just comes walking in the church casually, going to show and pray this sin around. How many of us have been in the house of God? And I'm just going to slow down just a second, young people. This is the same faith that it takes. What do you do when one of your friends gets their cell phone and shows you something that you know they ought not to be doing? You know how much faith it takes for you to do the right thing? You know something about one of the little girls in church, they're talking to some boy that they ought not to be. You can handle it the right way. They're going to call you names. But then we want to have faith to lay hands on people and them get the Holy Ghost. Well, you got to have faith to do what's right too. The same power takes it to do what's right. Amen. You're on the internet. You got to have that kind of faith that'll keep you, we sung about it, power to live right. Amen. There is that part of it. Amen. And there needs to be that in us that we have faith that we say, you know what? This ain't right. I'm not going to be a part of this. Me and my wife, we never fellowshipped a whole lot. And to us, it's been bad. But on the other hand, it's also been good. Because if we started fellowshipping with a lot of people and my girls or my son started telling me that boys and girls were doing certain things, it wasn't that we just ostracized them, but we just realized that, hey, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want my kids a part of that. I'm going to tell you something. You little fellas and gals in here that don't live right, you don't realize what you do to the other brothers and sisters in here that's trying to do right when you walk around here and you speak in tongues and you dress like they dress, but then you live like the devil. Amen. It destroys people's confidence in the Lord and this way of living. Thank God for a Phinehas spirit that would get in a young man and say, I'm not going to agree with you and pat you on the back and rub shoulders with you and act like that's okay because I'm worried about your friendship. You can unfriendship me and un-whatever it is. I don't want to be a part of that mess. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't want to be like that, amen? Because listen to me. There's going to come a day, brother. There's going to come a day that you ain't going to need to get on your phone and Instagram nobody. It's going to come a day you don't need to Snapchat nobody. Amen. You're going to have to hit your knees on the floor and you're going to have to talk to God. Amen. And you're going to have to be able to reach out and get a hold of Him. Amen. Don't let sin get all around you and live in your house and live in your home, glory to God, and hinder you, glory to God. When me and you don't take an active stand, you can take a stand against it without being nasty. You don't got to have a bad spirit. I don't know how you could be best friends with somebody that ain't doing right secretively and you're the only one that knows. And you really ain't their friend if you know. And if you got a friend that knows that you're into no good stuff, and they still your buddy, they're not your buddy, amen. They're helping you, amen, equipping you to do wrong. What you need is a young man or young lady to look you in the eyes like Phinehas and say, you know what, I'm gonna poke you right through the heart. Better the way you're living, you're gonna die and go to hell. You need to straighten up and get on the altar, glory to God. Oh, thank God. Ooh. Around the house, we call this hunting rabbits. I done got on a rabbit trail tonight. I'm going to tell y'all something. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to be a little transparent. We took a church 8 years ago, and this ain't going out nowhere, so won't nobody hear it. And I inherited a lot of trouble. And we had a situation in there, one of the pillars of that church, one of the largest tithe payers. He was so well connected with everybody. His wife was backslid, and she gathered together, and he'll be in the midst. We say, that's church attendance. That's not church attendance. That's church discipline. I want to tell you something. If you young people, that's right, will bind together, amen, and say, you know what, the youth, amen, we want to have a holy youth. We want to have a clean youth. Amen. We're not going to put up with this as a whole. Well, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you get together and say, we're not going to have this slipping around and ducking and dodging. Well, glory to God. No sneaking out and sneaking in. I tell you what, those that got two different accounts, and don't let everybody know, don't let your face give you away now. I ain't at my church. I won't come talk to you right now. You don't want mom and daddy to see it. I tell you what, they ought to be just as scared of you godly young people in this church as they are pastor and they are their mom and daddy. Say, I don't want them folks to know. Boy, they'll pray. They'll pray till God gets me on the altar and I have to get it right. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I better get off of that. I won't get it. Brother had me come back, but the young people won't like my preaching no more, Elder. I think you will. I think some of you really will. And the ones that don't, you need to start to like it. Amen. I want to be saved, don't you? I want to be saved. Glory to God. Ain't nothing feels better than good old-fashioned I'm saved and ready to go be with Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, Lord. It takes faith to live right. It takes faith to live right. You got to believe God when that good-looking fella comes in here, 6 foot tall and blue eyes, and man, you think, man, that's all I ever want, and you find out he ain't. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of faith to tell your heart you're not going to fall for that one. Our boys, I ain't going to fall. Y'all, if she's 6 foot tall, y'all better be tall. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ain't gonna go no further on that subject, amen. Praise the Lord. But you gotta have faith. How many know that's something that you desire? You gotta be able to believe God for that, amen. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost help you there. I wanna talk about one more thing, and then we're gonna have prayer. And as the brother already said, amen. The Spanish brother was up here ministering. I told Brother Copeland, I said, let him preach. Let him preach, amen. And then, amen, here tonight. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. I was thinking on this thought also real quickly, where Deborah had told Barak to go out, and he wouldn't go. He said, I won't go without you, amen. And the Lord let him know that the battle was not going to be won by him, but by a woman. And God was going to give that to her. And the honor wasn't going to fall to him because he doubted God. He still got the victory, but he doubted God. That's why some people can't shout when the blessing comes, because they don't got the victory. I had an elder one time ask me. He said, why don't they shout no more like they used to? And so he asked me, and I didn't have the answer. So I went to the one I knew would have an answer, and I asked my wife's granny. I said, Granny, I said, y'all used to shout every service. It wasn't every once in a while. I mean, right? And she said, well, I can be honest. I don't remember a service when we was in church that folks wasn't shouting. We just shouted all the time. And I said, why don't they shout no more? She said, because ain't nobody got the victory. I said, if you got the victory, you can shout. But if you ain't got no victory, you can't shout. Amen. So if you got it, you got something to shout about. I went back and told the elder. Well, he didn't like my answer, but I said, well, that's why they ain't shouting, Elder. Are you shouting? Amen. He said, I'm going to start. Amen. Hallelujah. I asked her another question one time, Elder. I asked her why they used to tell of just the depth that the Holy Ghost would move in those meetings. Around our area, it was around 1945 and up that they was just a great move of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was just powerful, and the church exploded down there. And I asked Granny about it, asked her what happened, what happened, do you know what took place? And she wasn't thinking about what she said. She said, you know, about the time the television come out. Now, this is just old lady talking now. She said, folks, stop getting to church so early. And it just started dwindling on down. I said, wow, ain't that something? Amen. Well, I get a round of applause for that, but that's all right. So here's this young lady, and the Bible says that Jael bidded this old king to come into her tent. He asked for a little bit of water, but she gave him some warm milk, gave him a blanket, had him lay down. And then the scripture said she took a nail and drove it through his temple. Yeah, that'd be rough. I don't know if I could do that. I told you about Brother Marcus Holt. He preached a message along those lines. We need to learn to fight like a girl. Brother Marcus Holt, you know him? From Augusta? Good guy. And he preached that message, and what he talked about was all the old kings in the Bible and judges, how they would capture the kings and keep them as a trophy because they felt powerful. They fought like men. As long as they weren't threatened, the battle was over. But women don't fight that way. The reason she killed that man is because she wasn't worried about her. She is worried about her kids. Amen. And she said, if I kill him, I won't never have to worry about him again. So sometimes, brothers, we need to fight like a girl. Amen. Say, I don't need to play with this thing. I need to kill this thing. I had a come home the other night, and little Michaela was home by herself, and she called her mama and said, I heard the dogs barking. Mama said, well, just go in our room, and she went in our room. We got home. Man, there was six or seven guns laid on the bed and pistols. I said, dear God, amen. Glad nobody came to the door, amen. I'd have had to replace a new door, amen. She said, just want to make sure, amen, if anything happened. I said, well, you got it covered, honey. Amen. But this little girl, amen, you know, there's a spirit that's raising up in Pentecost that just seems like I've been to some meetings. They wouldn't even let the little girl shout. Huh? You know, I was sitting there thinking, Elder, we lost my pastor, my father-in-law, and it was tremendous. It was heartbreaking. But truth be known, that little church that's been there for almost 70 years would not even exist if it wasn't for a little old woman. There's a well-known preacher around there that came to that church, and he wanted everybody to leave that church and go to his church, so he said, I'll pastor the church. And when they turned the church over to him, he drilled two big old holes and put a login chain on it and locked it and cut the lights off. Put a note on there and said, everybody's having church at my place. You know what everybody did? They went over there and had church with him. You know what Granny did? She cut the lock off the door. Huh? She cut the lock off the door and cut the lights back on the church in her name. And she said, never again. And for all those times, that little old lady that just lived on a fixed income, she paid the light bill, and she went to that church for many years right by herself. She's the reason I'm saved. Because if it wouldn't have been for her, Elder, there wouldn't have been an altar on that old dirt road, amen, where this old drug addict boy pulled up one night and God gloriously saved me, glory to God. There wouldn't be a Christian school there now, amen. There wouldn't be other churches built. There wouldn't be preachers called, amen, if that little old lady hadn't used her faith. And man, she had faith. Hallelujah. I know there's an order for all things, but there is this push. I'm going to be honest. I don't think we got no problem today. I think our young folks and men and women know what bathroom to use. Amen. I don't think that with the ladies that's in my church, I deal with a mannish spirit. I want to let you know the anointing, amen, ain't masculine. There's an anointing, amen, that goes along. I'll tell you what, they ain't nobody in this world. There's not a preacher that I would want to pray over me. Anybody in this world, and I'd want my sweet wife to anoint me with oil and pray over me. Because I know my wife, and I know the way she lives, and I know the favor she has with God. I'm telling you the truth. Don't matter to me that she's a woman. It don't matter to God, he anoints her. Didn't matter to God that it was Jael. He give it to her. And we got to be careful, brothers, that we don't hinder everybody from being able to be used. I got a little girl in my church, elder. She's so quiet. She don't talk. If she got in a crowd, you'd never know she was there. But when the Holy Ghost gets to moving in our church and the Spirit gets to moving, all of a sudden you'll hear a distinct tongue start moving through her. And she's a young lady. And she'll start speaking in tongues. And man, there'll be a holy hush will fall on the church. And it won't be very long, God will give her a word of interpretation. And I have seen it numerous times, her and one other older brother in the church. That's the way God uses them. And man, she'll begin to give a word to the church and it'll fall right in place. And when she's done, she sets on down. Amen. There's a lot of ladies that live good and live holy. Amen. I had a man tell me not too long ago that was preaching for me. He said, I wouldn't let no woman pray over me. And I said, why? And he said, because she's a woman. I said, but you'd let a man with a bad spirit do it. I said, why wouldn't you want some mother of Israel that's been before the face of God, that knows the voice of God and lives before God, pray for you? Well, I ain't getting a lot of round and amen. But it don't bother me. It don't bother me when the Lord uses whoever he decides to use. But how are you going to be used if you don't exercise your faith? If you don't start pressing out there? Amen. I was watching these young ladies leading these choirs and singing. And young lady, you can sing. If I could preach as good as you could sing, boy, I'd be doing something else. That's that young man up here singing. I don't even know where he's at, but boy, he was singing. I thought, Lord, if I could preach like them young and sing, I'd be the most well sought after preacher in all of Pentecost. Amen. It takes faith to do that. That's what we fail to realize as we reach out with faith. Every aspect of your Christian life, it takes a measure of faith to get that completed. Amen. And if you're not careful, the devil wants to keep me and you bayed up where we won't step out and move, and he'll give you every reason, every excuse why you can't exercise your faith, why you can't work your faith. I'm sure right here in this room tonight that there's been some young ladies, some young men, some older people, amen, that has felt led to go lay hands on somebody during a meeting, and you sat right there and you didn't go do it. Why? Why? Well, what if I go pray for them and pastor scolds me or they don't get healed? I'm going to look dumb. So what? Maybe God ain't sent you there to pray for them to be healed. Maybe they need somebody to lay hands on, just pray for them, they get some encouragement. Realize that somebody's praying for them. I don't know about you, but I've noticed something. Amen. The Bible said that some received the Holy Ghost by laying upon of hands. There's something that happens when we touch one another. Amen. Appropriately touch one another. Amen. In the Holy Ghost, God starts moving. You ever prayed, had you been struggling, and somebody lays hands on you and then something breaks and you can get to that next level? Amen. Hallelujah. It takes faith to step out, amen, and to pray one for another. And I was watching this morning. We have a young man that's going through a time. He came back to the church. He lost his entire family, but his girls is held true, and now he's dealing with that. And through all of that, elder, he's just lost it. He lost the joy of the Lord. And this morning, amen, the people started gathering around him. He could not pray. He was so bound up. He was crying on the inside, no tears on the outside. His heart was broke, but he couldn't feel nothing. Amen. That's when you know you're bound. Amen. When you want to reach out and shed tears and open up your mouth, but you can't. Amen. And as one saint laid hands on him, another saint laid hands on him, then all of a sudden he started moving a little bit. Next thing you know, he was on his face and he was talking in tongues. And God was delivering him and setting him free, glory to God, from all that bondage, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know ever how to end a service. I don't even hardly know how to start them, but I just feel like God would love for somebody to step out of the crowd today. Have you been struggling with something? I guess if the musicians have come on today. If you need something, amen, we got people here, don't we? I said we got people here that don't mind praying, amen? Don't mind believing God for you today, amen? That if you need something in this house, amen, God's able to do it, amen? I don't know what your needs are. Amen. I told Elder what I felt led to preach for. I ever got on the pulpit, and then Brother Harbinger said, amen, that he believed God was going to do something in this service. Now back to that question. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And then Jesus said this, where is your faith? Is it here tonight? You believe in the Lord? Why don't we come? Amen. Hallelujah to God in Jesus' name. Oh, God, right now. If you need prayer, if you want to come to the altar, why don't we